Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktananda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shonaka Rishi, after hearing all about the creation, inquired from Suta Goswami about Vidura, for Suta Goswami had previously informed him how Vidura left home, leaving aside all his relatives, who were very difficult to leave. Purport: the rishis headed by Shonaka were more anxious to know about Vidura, who met Maitreya Rishi while traveling to the pilgrimage sites of the world. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Shri Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for being here today, seeking blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, so I can say something of value today. It's actually a very beautiful verse, and a short, sweet purport by Srila Prabhupada. I'll read it again, the verse and purport. Shonaka Rishi, after hearing all about the creation, inquired from Suta Goswami about Vidura. For Suta Goswami had previously informed him how Vidura left home, leaving aside all his relatives who were very difficult to leave. And the purport: the rishis headed by Shonaka were more anxious to know about Vidura, who met Maitreya Rishi while traveling to the pilgrimage sites of the world. So, yesterday we heard from Chandramouli Swami, and the verse was still about creation. So the whole canto 2, it talks a lot about creation, more like technical subject matter. And now in this verse today, it's like a shift. The topic is shifting to something else, something more exciting perhaps. Because like if we look at the previous verse, Suta Goswami was ready to keep on explaining more about creation. He was like, for the present, let me explain unto you the Padma Kalpa. He was going to go on, talk about more creation. But now in this verse today, the sages are saying, you know, it's enough. We heard enough about creation. Can you please tell us more about Vidura? We want to hear more about Vidura. So the sages had this eagerness to hear about the transcendental subject matter. Although creation, it's also connected to the Lord, but it's somewhat of a less a topic. There's higher topics, but Bhagavatam is like so inclusive. There's something for everyone, for everyone's taste. So like some people, they want to hear, they are excited or they are interested about Sankhya. They are interested about philosophy, creation, how the time works, and all these intricate technical subject matter. And Bhagavatam has it all. So those people can get their taste in Bhagavatam and thus get purified. But also there's something for someone who wants to hear more about Krishna directly. You know, what is Krishna like? What does he do? How does he deal with his devotees? What are his devotees like? So here the sages are like, please tell us more about Vidura. And then tomorrow, they will be asking these questions. Please tell us what topics were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya. And then Canto 3 comes, where they'll be explained different topics that they discussed. So it's more juicy, more exciting. So I want to start off with maybe touching on that topic. Where is our taste? Where do we get inspiration? Where do we absorb our consciousness in? What kind of topics we relish to hear? Especially like among devotees also, like when we come together, what do we discuss? Are we discussing economics, politics? Like in Bhagavatam, in Canto 2, in the beginning chapter, they say that there's so many topics for discussion. There could be so many different questions asked and so many different topics discussed. And in the Purport, Prabhupada says that you can discuss sociology, politics, economics. So much katha is going on. So same for us. When we come together, are we discussing mundane topics of this world? Or are we actually, like Bhagavad Gita says, tushanti chara manti chara, are we relishing discussing about Krishna amongst each other? Because that's why Prabhupada created this movement, ISKCON, that we have the association of devotees and we can enlighten each other, relish topics about Krishna. But are we actually doing it? We need to, you know, investigate into what are our conversations about. And then slowly make a shift and bring in more Krishna katha. Talk about Krishna. When I was living in the ashram, we had Mother Chintamani Dham. Mataji, she would come to the ashram and she would get us girls together and she would just make us read Bhagavad Gita, discuss Bhagavad Gita. And she's just amazing. She has developed with her husband, I guess, the whole system, how you discuss Bhagavad Gita. There's a website, Sadhu Sangha, I believe, and different principles. How do you discuss Bhagavad Gita? And it was just so relishable. We would get together and it, you know, she would give us principles and we would read very slowly, take one sentence at a time, and then word by word, unpack it. What does this word mean? What does that word mean? How do we understand it? Then the other person reflects back how they understood you. Then you say, okay, that was correct. Thank you for understanding me. And then like this, you go so much deeper. Because Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 1, text 1 in the purport, that Bhagavad Gita you should study scrutinizingly, meaning in great detail, not just like skim read it and like it goes in one ear and out the other, but really trying to understand deeply, scrutinizingly, with the help of another devotee. So coming together and discussing Shastra together and without any selfish motivation. So without any like ulterior motive, like purely as it is. So let's take a look in our own topics. What are we discussing? And let's try to make it more Krishna conscious as much as we can, because this is ultimately what saturates our consciousness. And in Bhagavatam, the famous six questions of Parikshit Maharaj, one of those questions he asked is, what is the duty of someone who is about to die? What is the most important thing for them to do? And so Shukadeva Goswami answers that the most important is to remember the Lord, to chant the holy name, to remember the Lord. So how will we be able to remember the Lord at the time of death if right now all we're thinking is, you know, mundane material topics of this world, family, you know, work and things like that? Where is the place in our head and our consciousness for the Lord? So that's why we need to hear Shushrusho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Shan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirta Nishevanad. That this taste for hearing develops when we serve great devotees, when we serve devotees who are free from all vice. Then great service is done and one gains affinity to hear the topics of the Lord. Because right now we may not have much taste for hearing. Like, if you have a free moment in the day, where do you go? You pick up your phone and, you know, look at Facebook, Instagram, check what everyone is doing, maybe read some news. That's where your consciousness is going. That means we don't have enough taste for Bhagavatam. So how do we develop this taste? Shushrusho Shadadanasya. We serve a great devotee. And that's, you know, our heart becomes purified, we get the affinity to hear the message of the Lord. Mother Kulangana, she is such a wonderful example. And she had so much taste for hearing. Every spare moment, you would see her either with her headphones listening to Prabhupada, or in her room, there was this radio in her room that she would get direct, live from the temple. So she would listen to everyone giving Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam class, and constantly listening. Whoever comes into her room, she would sit them down and give them Krishna book and be like, read this, you know, and she would listen to them. Or even if someone comes with a problem, she would be like, this is all the answers are here. And she would make them read. And once I had the great fortune to assist Mother Kulangana on her trip to India. Every year she would go to Kerala to do some Ayurvedic treatment. And so I think it was probably the last year before she left this world. And nobody could come. They were busy. So I was sent with her. And we were living together in this hospital. And every day she would just rise 1 o'clock in the morning, and in my sleep, I would hear her in the balcony chanting with great attention, with great focus, crying for Krishna. And then every day, she asked me to give her a class. So we would alternate like that. One day, she would give a class to me, and another day, I would give a class to her. She would fall asleep in my class, because, you know, you can understand it was exhausting. Ayurveda treatments are quite intense on the body, so she was tired a lot. But she was training me. She was training me that this is what you talk with devotees. You open the book, you read, you, reveal your heart, how you understand it, what makes sense to you, what you don't, what doubts you have. So like this, the entire 1 month, I think we spent there, every day reading Bhagavad Gita, discussing Bhagavad Gita. Whenever doctors would come into our room to check on her, maybe 2-3 times a day, and they would ask her, Mother Kulangana, how are you feeling? And she would start preaching, Janma Mritu Jara Vyadi Dukha Doshanu Darshanam. How can I feel? I'm 80 or something years old. It's just miserable. And she would go on, this life this world is a place of misery. Dukha Doshanu Darshanam. You have to surrender to Krishna. And she would go on and on. And in different ways, she figured out ways to preach, to give Krishna to others. Once she sent me to the streets to get some milk. And we would make mangal sweets together, tiny, tiny ones, and we would offer to Krishna and distribute to the doctors, to everyone in the hospital. So it was just an amazing experience to be with someone who is actually relishing sadhana, relishing bhakti, having so much taste. And when you're with someone like that, it rubs off on you at least a little bit. At least for the time being, you feel very much inspired. So I think we should all find that devotee around us and do sadhu sangha with them, associate with them, and that's how we can make a lot of progress. Read together. And this reading is actually, I was telling the girls yesterday in the ashram, that this reading is one of the items that is most likely to suffer in our sadhana. Because Maya knows that it is something that will make us advance tremendously. And then Maya finds the ways to trick us away from reading. She will make us believe that we can find happiness somewhere else in this world, that we don't have time for reading, that it's boring. But actually, if we dedicate our time every day, at least 1 hour, it should be our dridha vrata, this strong determination, strong vow that no matter what, every day I connect with Bhagavatam, I connect with Krishna's words. So sages, they had this taste, they had this eagerness to hear about the transcendental topics. And so they are inquiring here from Sutta Goswami that, please, can you tell us more about Vidura? So who is Vidura? Vidura, we know he is the son of Vyasadev and Shudrani. He's the brother or stepbrother of Dhritarashtra and Pandu. And he played a very significant role. He was a prime minister, and he gave a lot of advice, a lot of good advice, tirelessly. He would support Dhritarashtra and tell him quite strongly, quite strongly tell him, like, look, give up this rascal son of yours. It's not worth it. And he would tell him, you know, just give the Pandavas their rightful share. And like this, like, Vidura was, you know, he wouldn't beat around the bush. He would tell things as it is. And he's known as like an exemplary friend. So we should all have a friend like this in our life who will not only like say pleasing words to us, but who will actually tell us reality, which may not be very palatable at times, but which will make us progress. So Vidura was like that. He would he wasn't scared that, oh, you know, then Dhritarashtra will, you know, something will happen, I'll be kicked out of the kingdom. Or no, he was just telling things as they are because he was the well-wisher of Dhritarashtra. He wanted the best for him. But unfortunately, Dhritarashtra, he wasn't able to follow the advice. It is explained that he was too weak to follow the advice. And it was unfortunate because that led to the whole misfortune that, you know, all his dynasty was killed. So anyway, Vidura was a great friend, a great preacher too. And if we take a look back, who is Vidura? In his previous life, Vidura is, anyone knows? Yamaraj, yes. Vidura is Yamaraj, so he's an incarnation of Yamaraj. And we know that Yamaraj is one of the 12 Mahajanas. Svayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapila Manu Janakyo Pa Janako Pralado Bhishmo Valir Vayasakir Vayam. Svayambhur, who is Svayambhur? Lord Brahma. Svayambhur Narada Shambhu Narada Shambhu Lord Shiva. Svayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara, four Kumaras. What's next? Kapila, Kapila Dev, Manu, Svayambhu Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Prahlad Janako, Bhishma, Bhishma Dev. What's next? Sakir Vayam. Who is Bali? Bali Maharaj. Vayasakir. Who is Vayasakir? Sukadev Goswami, Vayam. So this is the verse that Yamaraj himself speaks in the Bhagavatam, and he says, these are the great Mahajanas, the great pure devotees of the Lord. And he says, I am one of them. So he lists these Mahajanas. It's funny how once someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I read about the 12 Mahajanas. I think you are the 13th Mahajana. Prabhupada said, very good. You become the 14th. So in a sense that we should all become preachers. We should all become pure devotees of the Lord, solely dedicated to the service of the Lord. And Yamaraj was a Mahajana, which means that in his heart, he wanted to preach. He wanted to spread Krishna consciousness, because that's what Mahajanas do. They want to give Krishna to others. But being in his position as Yamaraj, he has very, very busy service, because you can understand there's way more impious souls than pious souls. So he constantly needs to, you know, judge, give them punishment. And he's just completely busy and absorbed in his service. There's no time for him to preach. But in his heart, he has this desire to preach, right? But he's so dutiful. Even if somebody came to him and said, Prabhu, do you want to go down to this material world and preach? He would say, no, I am busy here. I have my duties. So Krishna, he understands our desire. He knows what's in our heart. So Krishna made an arrangement so that Yamaraj could come down to this material world as Vidura and preach. Because that's all Vidura did. He was just preaching tirelessly. So how did it happen? Like, we could think, you know, how did Yamaraj, such a great Mahajana, take a lower birth? Because Vidura, he was considered to be of a lower birth, born of a Shudrani mother. So it's kind of odd, you know, how is it that Yamaraj, a Mahajan, great devotee of the Lord, takes birth as a son of a Shudrani? So there's the whole pastime. There's Manduka Muni, a great sage who lives in his ashram, in his hermitage in the forest. And some thieves, some criminals, they were running away from the police. And they thought, let us hide in this ashram of the sage, because nobody will come look for us in the ashram of the sage. So we'll be safe there. So they get to the Manduka Muni's ashram, and they are hiding there. And soon after, the police comes after them and finds them in Manduka Muni's ashram together with Manduka Muni. So they thought that Manduka Muni was implicated in the crime, so the rest, they arrest all of them. So Manduka Muni, together with the thieves, they get arrested and they are put in the prison, very nasty situation. So Manduka Muni is sitting there and thinking, like, how is this happening to me? Like, what kind of actions I'm getting this reaction? He couldn't fathom. Because, you know, being a sage, he could, he could understand his own karma. When you're of some kind of purity, you can understand your previous karmas. So he just couldn't fathom, like, why is he getting such a reaction? And then the time came for the execution day. They were punished to be killed. So he was about to be pierced by a lance. So it was a very, very traumatic experience. Like, you're about to be killed. So he's super stressed out. He's about to be pierced by this lance. And then all of a sudden, so the news got to the king that this Manduka Muni is about to be killed, executed. And king is like shocked, and he comes over to the place rushing and saying, no, stop this. He's a great sage. You cannot kill him. So then they release Manduka Muni, and he speaks to the king, and the king is apologizing. I'm really sorry that this happened, you know. Please accept our apology. And Manduka Muni, he didn't blame the king. He could understand that there's someone beyond the king who, you know, gives punishment to us for our karmic reactions. So immediately he goes to Yamaloka. Being of a sage of that caliber, he could travel to Yamaloka and meet Yamaraj directly. So he approaches Yamaraj and he's like, what was that? You know, how come I was getting this reaction? And Yamaraj explains to him, look, when you were a child, you pierced an ant with a straw. So this was the reaction that you were getting. You didn't get killed, but you were about to get killed. So that caused a lot of, you know, pain, mental pain. So Manduka Muni was like, he wasn't impressed. He became angry. He was like, it's not fair. It's not fair. I was just a child. A child doesn't know right from wrong, right? A child doesn't know right from wrong. So how can you give me such a punishment for a small, not a small, but for a thing that I did in as a child? It's not fair. Therefore, I curse you. I curse you to become a Shudra. I curse you to be born amongst the human beings, amongst those who are you supposed to judge as Yamaraj, so you be born there. So that was the curse uttered by by Manduka Muni to Yamaraj. And that's how Yamaraj took his incarnation as Vidura. So we can think like it's a bad situation. He got cursed. But a devotee has this mindset, tatenu kampam susumikshamano punjana vetma kritam vipakam, that whatever happens, it's a divine arrangement by the Lord. It's for my best. So a devotee never blames the Lord, never feels like it's not fair. Devotee has this gratitude and understanding that this is just a token of my karmas, of what I deserve, just a token of the reactions. The Lord is so merciful. And so he keeps this grateful attitude and prayerful mood. So even as Vidura, you know, in the form of Vidura, when he was... when Duryodhana uttered some really harsh words to him, so that was when Krishna, so Krishna comes as Shantidut, as a peace messenger to Dhritarashtra, to Duryodhana, and then after Krishna leaves, they call Vidura to the assembly that, come, we need your advice. So Vidura comes to the assembly to give his advice, and then Vidura again says some harsh words. He says, like, this Duryodhana, he's offense personified. And Duryodhana becomes furious. He says, kick this Vidura, kick this son of a Shudrani out of the kingdom. Get rid of him. Something else really harsh, he says. And so, and Dhritarashtra doesn't protect Vidura. Dhritarashtra just says, do not speak like this to the prime minister. Dhritarashtra doesn't acknowledge the relationship, the intimate relationship with Vidura as his brother or as an uncle to Duryodhana. He says, do not speak like this to prime minister. As a king, he could have said, just shut your mouth up. Like, how are you speaking with this, with Vidura? But he didn't do that. So Vidura could see that Dhritarashtra would side with Duryodhana in any way. So he lost hope. Like previously, so many times, there were so many different occasions that Vidura, he had hope that somehow Dhritarashtra could be transformed, that he could listen to his words, but never happened. But as a preacher, you know, you never give up hope. You always try and try. But this time, Vidura took it as Krishna's arrangement again, tatenu kampam susumikshamanu, and he just left his bow in the corner. As a, you know, he was born still in the royal family, so he knew how to fight, but he just left his bow and he left the kingdom. He went on pilgrimage. So off Vidura goes, and he understood that this is the arrangement of the Lord, the divine plan of the Lord, that now it's I'll go out and become more purified on the pilgrimage, because pilgrimage is meant for us to, meet the sadhus, meet the saintly personalities and hear from them. So on his pilgrimage, he got the chance, got the opportunity to meet Maitreya Muni and hear from him. He got so many instructions from Maitreya Muni, and he visited so many different holy places. So Prabhupada explains in different purports how pilgrimage is not about to go to some holy place and bathe there. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshmananda ki Jai. Pilgrimage is not just for us to visit some sacred site in India, but it's actually for us to associate with sadhus. So go there and spend time, hear from the saints. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmanam kavayovidu sa eva sadhu sukritam moksha dvaram udabritam. That association with the sadhus opens the door, moksha dvaram udabritam, that it opens the door to liberation. Whereas if we are surrounded by materialistically inclined persons, then that leads us to hell. So sacred places of pilgrimage, they are beneficial for us because, like, for example, I have the great fortune to live in Mayapur, which is a place of pilgrimage, and it's very holy. And the benefit of living in a holy place is that you are constantly surrounded by the vibration of the holy name. Wherever you go, everyone is chanting Hare Krishna. There's devotees around. There's kirtan always. There's lectures. There's places where you can go and absorb in the pastime places of the Lord. So it's very easy in that sense to remember the Lord. Like, the remembrance of the Lord is enhanced in such a place. But you can, like Prabhupada, the goal with the places that we have in the West is that it emulates the holy places, because what we do here, we remember the Lord. This is also a holy place. So Vidura was traveling on pilgrimage, and he was getting more and more nourished by the association of the sadhus. And then later on, he comes back. He comes back. He didn't need to come back, but he comes back to Hastinapur, to the palace, after the war was over, and he heard that, the Duryodhana and everyone, the sons of Dhritarashtra, were vanquished. So he thought, okay, now that Duryodhana is no longer influencing with his evil mindset, he's no longer will be influencing Dhritarashtra. Maybe now Dhritarashtra will hear my words. So he had this hope that let me come back and try to give some mercy to Dhritarashtra. So he comes back to Hastinapur after, how much was it, 2 years? 2 years, approximately. So he comes back, and everyone is overjoyed to see Vidura. Everyone is just so, so happy, and Yudhishthira glorifies him that Tirtha Kurvanti, that you are the holy place personified. In you are all the holy places, because you carry the personality of Godhead in your heart. So, and then Vidura goes on to speak to Dhritarashtra, and he tells him, look, you are old. Your liver is damaged. You are spitting out mucus. You're like completely old. So it's the death is approaching. He lists the different signs how you could figure out that the death is near. So Vidura was like, now is the time to detach. Leave the palace. Come with me to the forest. And he was ready to support him all the way to help him to achieve liberation. And Dhritarashtra, it hit home. He understood. Okay. And off they went. But also in the verse, if we look back at the verse, it says that Vidura, he left home, right? That was previously. He left home, leaving aside all his relatives who were very difficult to leave. So the verse says that it's very difficult to leave your family, to leave your relatives. Vidura had an experience of that. He left his family. Dhritarashtra also left his family. So this is something that we will all have to do at some point or another. That detachment will have to come. That's why we have this Varnashrama system, that it's gradual detachment, because as long as we have any kind of attachment to this material world, to our family, to our own body, to anything really, that is an anchor that keeps us in this world. That is an anchor, that's something that will not allow us to make progress. So detachment has to be cultivated. And it comes naturally as we practice. There is a list of different symptoms that is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think. Shantiravarta kalatvam viraktirmana shunyata ashabanda samutkanta namagane sadaruchi ashaktistat gunakyane pritistat vashatishtale ityado nubhavasyur jata bhavan kure jane. That someone who is making progress on the path of bhakti, they will be developing the symptoms such as kshantir, forgiveness. Like Vidura, he was so forgiving. No matter how many insults were, whirled at his direction, no matter how much he was mistreated, he was forgiving. He forgave Dhritarashtra, and he came back and he delivered him. Kshantir, avyartha kalatvam means not even a moment wasted, that every moment is utilized in Krishna consciousness. So as we are making advancement on the path of bhakti, we will see that we are very conscious of our time. That whenever we have a free moment, it will be utilized in Krishna consciousness. We're absorbed. Samutkanta, great eagerness to attain pure devotional service to the Lord. So I think I'll conclude here, or at least I'll pause here and see if there's any comments, any reflections. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, in that past time, Vidura chastises Dhritarashtra because he's living with the he's living under the care of his enemies practically.
Yes.
And calls him a dog, eating the remnants
of Bhima.
That's one of the things he called it, yeah.
Beautiful. Yes, thank you for adding that. Yes, anyway, good point, Prabhu. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu.
I have a question, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think devotees don't speak as much Krishna Katha as we should?
That's a valid question. What are your thoughts, Prabhu?
No, that's you.
Okay. Okay. So why we don't spend as much time in Krishna Katha? One thing that comes to my mind is we're not serious. We think we have time. Like Maharaj Chandramouli Swami yesterday, he said that we don't realize that death is breathing at our neck. We could go at any moment. But we think, oh, I'm young, I still have years to go. You know, when I get older, then I'll absorb myself. I'll go to the holy place, sit there with the sadhus and hear and chant. But that's, again, Maya's trick. It will never happen. The time that we have now, that's the time that we need to engage ourselves seriously in devotional service. But it's hard because we're pulled by the different desires and association is very important. So if we are surrounded with people who are lax, is this the right word, lax in the devotional practice, then we will also not develop this seriousness. But if we are around someone who is sincere and serious, then those qualities rub off on us and we want to imbibe those same qualities. So I think we need to, you know, try to find or pray for that association, that Krishna, please send me association of strong, sincere devotees. And we spend time with them, and in this way we'll gain more enthusiasm. And reading. So if we read every day, it will create this urgency in us, because all the different pastimes, they are so inspiring. They are like, you know, we can take real shelter of those stories and understand that this place is a burning forest fire. Like we sing every morning, Samsara Dhavana Nalida Loga, that I need to become serious right now because this life is so short. Srila Prabhupada said, just try to give this one life to Krishna. Just try to give this one life to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and I will take you back, or you will, you know, you'll go back to Godhead. Because so many lifetimes we wasted serving Maya. So many lifetimes. And now we got this opportunity by Prabhupada's mercy that we came in touch with this movement. And to waste it, to not perfect our lifetime, that's most unfortunate. So this urgency we need to develop. Main thing I would say would be through hearing every day, lectures, hearing through books, hearing from devotees, chanting sincerely, and association. Thank you, Prabhu. Anyone else? Or maybe you want to add something? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Very nice class, Mataji. Yeah. You talk about Varnashram and the sign of, you know, Varnashram. So, if you are household, of course, you can't just detach from the family, and it's quite difficult. So what sort of things during you living in a family, you detach yourself? In your example, you said that to trust, he instructed to trust, okay, now just leave. But in today's reality and today's, like the way we living our life,
right,
what sort of thing you practically kind of advise us?
Thank you, Prabhu. Great question. Yes, so we need to be practical and apply the advice, the wisdom in the shastras in today's life. So maybe it's a bit extreme to leave everything behind and go into the forest. It's pretty cold, and you know what we're gonna do there. So may not work in this day and age, but the practical way to cultivate detachment would be that as we grow older, that we reduce our responsibilities, our material responsibilities as much as we can. So the children maybe are grown up, they can be on their own, and that we dedicate our time to hear and chant. That's the real detachment, that we just sit and spend quality time really absorbing ourselves. Because this is something that will, you know, help us to remember Krishna at the time of death. And that's the goal of life. So we are kind of preparing for that final moment. And it's very hard to become detached from your family, like Kunti Devi prays in chapter in Canto 1, Chapter 8, famous beautiful prayers of Kunti Devi, she says, Vipadushantuta shashvatatra tatra jagadguru. Actually, that's not the verse, but in that verse she's saying that, you know, let the calamities come again and again, because when the calamities, when challenging situations come, then we see your face again and again. We actually, you know, when life is easy and nice, we don't really remember Krishna much, but when we are faced with challenges, then we really call out to Krishna. So she was praying like that, and then one of the final verses she says, Krishna, please sever my attachment, cut it off my attachment to my family, to my kinsmen, to Vrishnis and my sons Pandavas. Cut off that affection, because it was like really disturbing, it was pulling her, you know. So she was praying to Krishna, so we can similarly pray to Krishna that please help me to remember you, help me to become detached. So like that, that's what comes to my mind. Anyone wants to add anything? Yes, Prayojana Prabhu.
The one thing that in the association of devotees, we're all of mixed levels, isn't it? And it's quite a commonplace thing. If we're not careful, it prajalpa comes.
Yes.
And instead of talking about the topics of the law, we're talking about each other, what happened in the past, what's in the politics, and, you know, and then making fun of that person, you know, like children, really, actually, if we're not careful. And the one thing, especially at prasadam times, we could be discussing the class and things like that, or instead of criticizing the prasadam, these sort of things, you know, because, as you say, it's been given to us, and there should be, I know one particular person in the ashram, he's totally absorbed in what he's in when he's serving, and he's totally absorbed in what he's honoring, and he won't say anything unless it's relevant. Mm. And so it does deteriorate a lot, you know, these things. There's this critical mind. And it says, Prabhupada, he says, one of his purports, the austerity of the mind is seeing the good in whatever we've happening to you. That actually it is coming from Krishna, and that somehow or other we can't even be critical, only in such a way is that we can help each other to see the good in everything. You know, like Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, when somebody was criticizing one of his disciples, and he said to that person, well, is there no good in him? Oh, yes, Maharaj, he does wonderful singing and kirtan. He says, then see that thing, talk about that thing. So, you know, this prajalpa is a bit of a nuisance, because we think it's constructive, but it's not. It's destructive.
Yes.
And if you want to talk about something, you can do it to your authority. If the prasadam is suffering in some way, not because that you don't particularly take it, that you could just speak to the head of the ashram or something like that. You know, can you have a word with the cooks? Like that, instead of, it turns into a malaise of criticism, or what's happened in the past, you know, what's happening in the politics, all these sort of things. It's really to bring it back to Krishna Katha, like you were saying, like Mother Chintamani was doing. That actually preoccupy ourselves, you know, in what's happening about us. That that everything's coming from Krishna, and that somehow there should be some gratefulness in whatever's happening to us.
Okay. Mm. Thank you so much, Prajna Prabhu. That was a great summary of the whole class, really. Yes, and I remember in Chaupati, you know what they do during Prasadam time? They play Krishna book, the recording of Krishna book. I think Krishna book, yes. So everyone just honoring Prasadam and hearing Krishna book. So it's very beautiful. So we'll end here. Thank you everyone so much for your kind attention. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shiva Prabhupada ki jai.